Hello, 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 and welcome to the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast, where we talk to inspire. Please like, follow, and subscribe right now. Hit that subscribe button so that you never, ever miss an episode of this uplifting, empowering show. My guest today is singer, songwriter, praise and worship leader, wife, mother, and of course, child of the Most High King, Marchetta Parker. Her latest release is the single My Everything from her live recording. Marchetta Parker, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Hi, Lynn. I'm excited to be here with you today.
Oh, and we are excited and happy that you could join us. It's been a chore to get you, but we appreciate you.
I'm excited to be here.
First of all, I love your single, the worship song, God, Birth Out of Trials of Life for You, My Everything. And before we go on talking more about that, we're going to get your backstory. Now, you're a praise and worship leader. What church are you at and what city are you in right now?
Okay, I'm currently at Victorious Praise Fellowship, Church of God in Christ, out of Durham, North Carolina. I've been the worship leader since they started the ministry, so that was in, 1998.
Oh, wow, that's a long time.
Yeah, I know you don't hear that nowadays, but that's where I'm planted.
Look, girl, nobody be staying that long.
Exactly.
Now, but before you were there, you're not originally from there, right?
No, I'm originally from Michigan. I lived, grew up in Benton Harbor, St. Joseph, Michigan. My father was a pastor. I'm actually a PK. Okay. So that's all I've ever known. I've been Kojic my entire life. So that is also all I've ever known.
All you've ever known.
And yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So I grew up knowing every aspect of this church.
Did you grow up, was your household a musical household? You're a PK, but was there singing going on there? Did you have siblings that sang as well? Anybody do anything musically?
My brothers played. One played the organ, one played guitar. We all sang. What I will say is my mother made all of us do something in church, so singing became that aspect for the girls, and the boys actually all ended up playing an instrument. And they knew early on I just always had a really big voice, so I was the little kid that sang in the adult choir because my mom was like, oh yeah, she can sing. Put her up there. Wow. I was always challenged.
Oh, okay. The mothers can, well, they can do that. Can my baby can sing?
They
my baby can play?
Can.
You better go up there.
Can. And look, and hopefully your mother is right.
Make sure that the mother is right. Otherwise, folks be, oh, Lord, hear that child come again.
Here we go. Exactly. Yeah.
Now, did you have any kind of formal musical training while you were growing up, or was this all a gift?
Vocally, it was all a gift. I did have musical training. I was actually a part of an orchestra, a jazz band. I actually played violin. Mm-hmm. Played it all through elementary, high school, and when I went away to college, I went to Michigan State. My mom was actually, again, that's the one who pushed me to do everything. I decided I wasn't going to play when I went away to school and to college, and she was like, you should have kept playing. And I was like, no, I don't think I'll do it. But I ended up doing, like, gospel choir and all those things when I was in college. But, I do have some classical music background and jazz music, but that was through instrumentation. I ended up playing violin.
Who influenced you while you were growing up? Who was some of the artists that you listened to across genres while you were growing up, or was it all gospel?
So in my household, I grew up listening to, of course, the Clark Sisters and the Hawkins and all those great people. And then because I'm from a Pentecostal background and my dad was a stern, traditional Pentecostal, we couldn't technically listen to, we called it all the blues, but it was R&B. But we all snuck and listened to it anyway. So we still ended up listening to group like Switch and Michael Jackson and all the above. My dad found the records. They were going in the fireplace, though.
Oh, my goodness. Y'all could go and listen to it on the radio somewhere, hide out and listen, right?
Exactly. And then I'm from a small city, so we didn't really have like a radio station. So the station that we could kind of get in was out of Chicago. Chicago's about an hour and a half from where we lived. And so we could kind of get the R&B station from there sometimes, depending on how the radio was working that day.
Oh, depending on that. Girl, is the signal coming in? Is the signal coming in? Or you got to turn the radio this way or turn the antenna?
Yeah, exactly. Yes, ma'am.
You just told me some of the folks that you were listening to, and you said Clark Sisters, and then you mentioned like Michael Jackson and some others on the secular side. But who was the biggest influence over you musically?
Musically, I would say one of the people, like I said before, like my mom pushed me to sing, but one of the people that actually pushed me to explore different parts of understanding my voice a little bit more was my orchestra teacher, who actually introduced me to jazz, which is interesting. I had to sing something. He ended up finding out that I sang in my church, and I got an opportunity. He's like, I want you to try this song. Gave me a couple of records, and I think it was a Billie Holiday record, and it might have been somebody like Ethel Waters or something. So I learned a song, kind of understood it, got it, sang it. And the great thing about that was my father ended up coming to the concert. I was really nervous about it. And by the time I finished, I looked, and he was standing up clapping.
My baby.
That's right. He didn't even care that it was. He said, girl, you got pipes. Like, I think he might have said Ethel Waters, or one of those big singers. And I was like, well, okay. So he actually influenced me to actually start listening to different types of music that I didn't necessarily get in my house.
Okay. Now, I heard that you call yourself an introverted extrovert, so explain that to me. Yeah.
So, I probably wouldn't normally, like, most extroverts that I meet, they love being out, and they'll go out without, I don't necessarily love it, but once I'm there, I will talk to people. I won't sit in a corner. You know, I'll find conversation for people. So I'm the person that is totally fine with being at home doing nothing. And I'm also okay with having to be out, if that makes any sense.
No, it actually makes perfect sense.
I don't thrive on it. Like, I have friends who thrive on being out and being in the public and being in the spotlight. That's not what I thrive on, but I do it.
That's not me, but I will do it, especially since you're called into ministry to do what you do.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
So how does an introverted extrovert become a praise and worship leader?
Because somebody, my pastor, actually, who also happens to be my oldest brother, and also the way that I ended up in North Carolina, he started a ministry, like I said, in 1998, and one of his questions to me was, I need you to be my praise and worship leader. And if you knew 1998, praise and worship was really kind of still just kind of coming out. Mm-hmm. And I actually said no. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I'll sing an occasional song from time to time, because what I saw from praise and worship meant that is like real ministry. Like, you got to get up, you got to talk to people. And I was like, I'm not doing that.
Oh, wow, okay.
I'll sing you a sermonic selection every once in a while, because that don't require anything with me getting up there and just singing a quick song and going to sit down. Exactly. So I said no. I kept saying no. And he's like, no, you can do it. You can do it. So that actually forced me out of that was part of my introvert. And I really had to pray about it, because God really had to help direct me. And the one thing that I did do was I sought out other people who did worship. And so I did conferences and I did things to make sure that I was doing the correct thing when it came to ministry. I didn't just want to get up there. You know, some people will just get up and make a mess, or some people will just get up and do it because they can sing. But I wanted to make sure that it was the right path for both me and the ministry, because I didn't want anything to be off. That's the other thing that I learned from my parents. I don't play with God. I don't play with other things. And if he ain't say do this, then you might need to find somebody else.
Well, obviously he said do it, because it's like, what, 20 plus years later and you are still doing it? And,
yes, ma'am.
And you got your second album that's out. But before we go there, I go there, and you are married and have children. So tell me about that and how you juggle all of this.
Yes, ma'am. I got married in 1999, actually a year after we started our ministry. I had a daughter the next year, had another daughter 3 years later, had another daughter 3 years later.
Y'all were busy with y'all ministry.
Yes, we were. Amen. We did what the Bible said. We multiplied.
Be fruitful and multiply. Okay.
Absolutely. And my husband is great. He has always been so understanding of ministry and me. And being able to juggle all of it is, it really takes a village for you to be able to do it. If I didn't have, one, a great spouse, two, a great village of people that were around me, especially when my children were smaller and we were busy in ministry, busy traveling, and then even before I started singing on my own, I traveled with other people. I did things with Joe Pace. I did just different little things around, and so I always stayed busy. Sometimes my job, I worked at IBM before I had my last daughter, and then I just stayed busy all the time. But it just took a great network and a great village of people, godparents, aunties, and uncles, and that, hey, I got the kids. I know you got to travel. We got him from school to after school, and then, you know, if dad's working, but he has been absolutely amazing and a great support system for our family.
Now, your husband, so is he from North Carolina?
He's actually originally from New York.
Oh,
so we're both transplants.
Okay.
And we met in North Carolina. He moved here from New York, actually, I think he said his last year of high school. And then he ended up going to college here. And we met actually both working at IBM.
Oh, IBM. What did you do at IBM?
Started off working on their help desk when they first started. So we serviced different customers, like Goodyear, and by the time I finished, I was a project manager for their e-business, and so I just kind of moved around at IBM. I stayed there for a while, probably 10, 12 years, and then I went to working full-time in the ministry. But we met there at IBM, so it was meant.
It was meant to be.
Yes, ma'am.
Earlier, we were talking about when you first started in praise and worship, it really wasn't a big thing, especially for the black church.
Mm-mm.
That came later for us. We like praise and worship. And then many look at, they say, and that's like devotion service, testimony service.
Exactly.
Or something.
Yes.
And I do remember those days, and because working in gospel all those years, that was a discussion that we had in music conferences. And where we wanted to head with this music. And we saw what was going on the CCM side. And we're like, we don't know. But now it's a big thing all over, cross denominations and religious affiliations.
Absolutely. And I can remember, like I said, when I first started, I invested and made sure that I went to conferences and I understood what was needed when it came to praise and worship and how you introduce it to congregations that weren't familiar with it. So I had an opportunity to go through that entire process, introducing it, you know, making people comfortable. And then there were way more traditional, like our church wasn't very extremely traditional, but there were some that were very traditional. So it took them a longer time. And then with things like that, you just kind of had to introduce a little bit at a time, just so, because sometimes people get so thrown off by it, they can't receive what you have to say. So if they can't receive it, then, you know, what's the point?
That is true. They have to be ready to receive. What has been most challenging about doing what you do with your type of ministry?
Just that it requires a lot of work. People don't realize the amount of work that people have to put in order to just to minister to them from week to week. You know, it's not the same thing every week. We don't just get up and do devotion. I think that devotion just doesn't require you to do practices. You can get up and sing whatever you want when we're talking about devotion. Mm-hmm. But if you're talking about praise and worship, or you're talking about singing gospel music, that requires a level of giving God your best, which means that now I have to rehearse and now I have to practice and now I have to make sure that everything is on point. I do my part and then let the Lord do the rest.
How would you describe your purpose in life with this music? Because I was reading some things about it. I said, oh, she's got some nice words here.
You said my purpose?
Uh-huh. Your purpose through your music.
Yes. I think that my purpose through my music is to kind of sing through my experiences and to help someone else that might be going through. You know, I always say that it is to help heal the brokenhearted and to set at liberty those who are captive. And if you can do that through words and music and reminding people of the power of God, then that's an amazing thing. You know, I told somebody that I actually got into writing. I had, when I was in high school, I had one black teacher, and I went to a predominantly white high school, and she made me write all the time. And she made me read all the time, and she entered me in writing contests. And she's like, no, you're not going to leave here and not understand your purpose and your design. And a lot of people don't get those people in their lives that push things out of them. And so I was blessed with that.
Now, your songs are biblical interpretations of some of your favorite Bible verses and subjects. And I think that's kind of like what you just said without saying the Bible verses part of it.
Exactly.
Interpretations of your experiences through the Bible. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. When I say that God is my everything, you know, I go from the scripture, he's my refuge, my strength, a present help in the time of trouble. And then I can kind of give you testimony behind when he was that to me. You know, he's been that, of course, all of my life. But as you go through trouble, then he then really reveals himself to you. You know, when there are times that, you know, maybe you could have been shaken, or maybe you should have been more troubled. I was explaining to someone when my father passed away earlier this year. I said it was such a, the peace that the Lord can give you is something that can't be explained. I can't explain to you the peace that God allow my family to have through that. You know, of course we're sorrowful and of course we were sad, but God will give you such a peace that it does really surpass all understanding that you have. And so when he says he'll be your strong tower, he really, really is. And I can be a testimony to somebody that it's okay. You know, God will get you through that.
And you also went through being diagnosed with breast cancer this year too, didn't you?
I absolutely did. And it was, my friend told me, he's like, wow, you're just so chill. And I said, I'm chill because everything is in God's hands. And I literally, honestly, I came from, my dad died the end of January. We buried him the first week of February. I came home in February, found out by the end of February that they had detected something. By April, I had a surgery. During the summer, I had to go through radiation. But through all of that, I can honestly tell you that I sang and I was not worried. My husband worried enough for me, so I didn't have time to worry.
Oh, wow.
So I told him, I said, honestly, I just believe that everything is in God's hands, and I know that there is more work that he has for me.
Yes.
So I know that I prayed about what direction to take, even with my healing process of the cancer diagnosis, and I said, okay, this is it. It was absolutely amazing because one of the surgeon that I had was a young black doctor. Absolutely amazing. I was her last patient. She was being promoted to head of oncology at a humongous hospital in somewhere in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And I said, okay, well, this is my note that you're going to be my doctor and my surgeon, and this is the road that I will be taking. I just knew it was. It's just something about when God directs you, you know that it's the right step. When it gets in front of you, you're like, yep, this is the door I'm supposed to take. And I knew that was the door I was supposed to take.
Amen. We went through something sort of like that. My father had prostate cancer. And so he went through that process last year, you know, at the height of the pandemic, going to get like those radiation treatments. But he never complained. He always had a kind word to say to folks. And then he's like 80 years old and still working because he wants to work.
Exactly.
And just went through it with a grace and a smile.
Yes, ma'am.
So I
think that God gives you things like that. You can't, you know, I don't think that there's something that you just have naturally on your own. Okay. The grace of God is something that is amazing.
It truly is. Let's move on to your single, My Everything. And you told us the story behind that and what you went through. And that is part of your testimony is what went into My Everything. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. And actually, as a matter of fact, My Everything was written in 2010.
Oh, okay.
And the interesting thing is one of the lines of that song says, before I cried, you wiped away my tears. Before I fell, you picked me up. Before I asked, you had already answered, because it's said in your word. I actually wrote that song probably a few months before my nephew. I had a nephew who was 24 years old, passed away. Yeah. Unexpectedly. And so that's why I say sometimes God will give you things before you need it. Mm-hmm. And the healing is there waiting for you when you actually have to have it.
Wow.
So I was just like, wow, God, he's just so amazing like that. He gives you strength before you actually know that you're going to need it. It's kind of like working out, you know, what do you need strength for? Okay, you'll find out in a little while.
Yeah, it's like, why do I have to do this now? Then down the road in life, you will say, mm-hmm. Oh my God, that's why he put me through that.
Exactly.
Amazing. Yep. And so My Everything, you did it first in 2010. This is your second recording or second mm-hmm. project. And this one you did live. Is that right?
Yes. I did it live. We had an audience. Actually, my father was here. So I was just blessed to be surrounded by great people. And I love doing ministry live. I had recorded that one in the studio. I was led to do it for no other reason than I was just led to write that music. And then I actually did the recording was 2017 or 18. Mm. And we just finished doing all the other stuff with it. But yeah, no, the Lord led on me to record it again live. And I think I always knew that I needed to do it live. There's just something that comes from being in the presence of more than two or three and kind of setting an atmosphere for worship. And I believe that like breakthrough and a lot of things happen when you're in the presence of believers. So that's why, you know, I know a lot of people have suffered through this pandemic. I'm kind of moving on how and why I ended up mm-hmm. doing that live. You know, just thinking back now for this past year when people haven't been able to come together like they've wanted to, you know, that's something that, you know, we love to do. We love to be in the presence of believers. We love to worship together when there are two or three gathered in his name and says he'll be in the midst. And some of us have figured out how to do it online. And yes, that works. But it's nothing like being in the presence of another believer and lifting up the name of Jesus. You know, it's kind of like they did when they marched around Jericho and they, you know, they called him and the wall came down. They mm-hmm. did what he said. That's what I believe happens when you have believers together with one purpose, and that's just lifting up the name of Jesus. So that's what I wanted to do with My Everything live, is to just sing it live and be in the midst of believers on one accord.
Now, do you have any other songs coming next, or is this part of an EP or an album?
Yes. So this song is out now. It will be part of an EP. There's going to be a reprise on the end of it. Anybody who knows me, I'll sing a song for a really long time. You'll be like, is she still singing? And it's going to be an EP with six songs. I'm actually currently working now, adding to those songs, and it will include a couple of the other live songs that we did from the project on that EP. And you can expect that probably spring, summer of 2022. So I'm really, really excited about it.
And so the current single, My Everything, where can you find that? It's just like available on all digital platforms?
Yep. It is absolutely available on all digital platforms, wherever you get your music, whether it's Amazon, iTunes, Apple Music. You can download it there. It's on YouTube if you want to watch the video that goes along with it. Yeah, so it has been a blessing for me, and it has, like I said, I always knew that it was something that needed to be done live. So
you're so blessed to be receiving it right now so that it will bless souls all around the world. Now, where can people connect with you on social media?
I am Marchetta Parker on Facebook, Marchetta P on Instagram, and Twitter, the same. You can find me all at Marchetta Parker or at Marchetta P. You will find me there. And I actually also have we were talking about praise and worship, but I also have a podcast,
okay.
And it's called Warriors of Worship, and you can find that anywhere that you get your podcast. I was blessed to have great people on with me. I've gotten some worship leaders that were from here in the area, and I've also done people that I've known. I've had Lisa Page Brooks on. I've had Kawante Gavin on. So it's a great conversation. So if you ever want to go out there and look at it, I haven't started the third season yet, but that'll be out also in 2022 as well.
All right. Busy, busy, busy bee you are.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, well, we thank you so much for being our guest today, and wish you the best and everything that God has to offer to your life.
Thank you so much. It was an honor to be here with you today, Lynn. So thank you for having me.
Audience, I want to thank you too for joining us today. I always, always, always appreciate you. Make sure that you subscribe right now so that you never, ever miss an episode of this uplifting show. So hit that subscribe button. Now, if you'd like to reach me, Lynn Woods, you can find me on Twitter at Lynn Woods. That's LINWOODS. Or Instagram at Lynn Woods 96. Or Facebook, just Lynn Woods. This has been the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast, where we talk to inspire. And Marchetta Parker's going to take us on out right now with just a little bit of her single, My Everything. God bless.